Jesus is in his final week of ministry. Things are very serious, very passionate with him. He chases out the money changers. He calls them a den of thieves. It's twice now that he's chased out the money changers in the beginning of his ministry. The end of his ministry is in his final week of ministry. He's come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's on a mission to fulfill. He's not preaching easy preaching. He's not preaching light preaching. Last week, we had three words we talked about. Problem. Say it with me. Price. Prize. It's easier to remember the prize on the other end, isn't it? Problem. Price. Prize. Say it with me one more time. Problem. Price. Prize. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of church do you want to have? What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to have? What kind of church do you want to have? We see the prize. The question is, are we willing to pay the price? Last week, I want to talk about last 2 weeks for a moment if I can. You mind? You don't mind, do you? Oh, you're going to do it anyway, Pastor Kev. I don't mind. I want you to know something. I was aiming at no one. I hit me. I don't know if I hit you, but I was aiming at no one. I'm not preaching at anybody. And I'm not preaching at anybody here today. I'm preaching for all of us. I'm preaching for me. I spent 2.5 years with you, most of you. And you know that I love you. If you don't know that I love you by now, I'm not certain I'll ever be successful at communicating that to you. I love you. But when we come to Jesus' passion and his final week of ministry, I want to tell you something. I would love nothing more than to preach the comfort and the encouragement and the love of Jesus Christ week in, week out, which I do try to preach. But when it comes time for the strong preaching Jesus does, and when he talks about clearing the den of thieves out of the temple, and when it comes to applying that to our life, I want to tell you something. I will not preach that as Mr. Rogers. I liked Mr. Rogers. In fact, I believe he was a precious man of God. He loved our children. He was appalled at the way our direction was going in children's television programming in this nation. By the way, some of you didn't know, he was a war hero. By the way, so was Captain Kangaroo, one of the most terrific war heroes of World War II. Both of those gentlemen were. They went on to do great children's programming. All right? But I want to tell you, you just can't ask me to stand up and say, now, Jesus cleared the money changers out of the temple. We knew he could do it. You don't want me to do it that way, do you? All right. Now let's practice something. I'm going to practice this. Let's practice message response. All right. You ready? You want to do a little practice here this morning? Message response. When I say the word real loud repent, I want you to do something for me. I want you to smile. Okay? Repent. Some of you are wincing still. All right? Repent. Now, when I do that again, when I say the word repent, I want you to show your teeth and really smile big at each other. Repent. Any idea why I'm going into this? Of course not. Because at the wrong moments, if I'm really getting strong in my preaching and I look at you with a frown, I'm not frowning at you because I think, this belongs to you, Carol. This point's for you, Vernon. I'm just bringing the passion of the Lord to the message, but I'm not frowning at you because I'm upset at you. And also, when we preach a strong point, listen for yourself. Don't start poking each other. Bam! I told you you needed church this morning. But it's also not a time to look with a frown at somebody else in the room. You all need to repent. Yes, you do. Okay, you too then. She got you involved. She said your name. I had to come preach it to you. Sometimes we misunderstand our looks, our application, and sometimes without meaning to. That's funny. I just went over Pete. Pete was going, don't look at me. Sometimes we send messages to one another without trying to. I want you to know something. I believe what we say is true, loving Jesus and loving each other. I have absolutely loved and still love being with you for 2.5 years. But when I bring the kind of message I've brought the last 2 weeks, I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm preaching for all of us. As a pastor, you have to pray that I have enough conviction and enough integrity before the Lord to bring the scripture exactly as it says and apply it in my life and ours as a congregation exactly as it's intended to, without getting offended thinking I'm after you specifically. I'm letting the Holy Spirit do the work in your life. We also need to cover each other in love and let the Spirit of God do the work in each other. Now, I'd like, for the show of hands, let me see them. In fact, you can close your eyes because I don't want anybody else. Let me see a show of hands. Close your eyes. Everybody, please, please. I don't want you looking at anybody. Would the person who is perfect in this room please raise your hand? Okay, you can raise your hands. Or you can close your eyes. No, open your eyes. You can go to sleep. No, don't do that. Open your eyes. All right, I didn't see any hands. That means, no, we're perfect under the blood of Jesus, and he sees us that way. I know that. But there's something that we need to remember as a congregation. We need to cover each other in love as we continue to grow. Your personality and my personality is not exactly alike, but neither personality is an excuse for sin. But neither is an excuse to rub it into one another if there's stuff God's dealing with all of us about. We're going to walk together to the goodness of the Lord. That's what congregations do. That's what families do. We'll learn together, right? Come on, say amen or oh no. Amen. Now, last week I was talking about us as a congregation. Those of you who are guests this morning, you weren't here for last week's message, and some of you are looking like, boy, am I glad. I was speaking about Jesus clearing the money changers, and I was talking about problem and price and prize. And the problems of life are usually when we're getting all ticked off with people and with God, it's an issue over control and it's an issue over authority. Who will have control of our lives? Who will be an authority in our lives? And will we really pay the price to win the prize? Do we really want to be the kind of Christians he wants us to be? Do we really want to be the kind of church he wants us to be? And we can't back away from that message, but we can help one another walk into the reality of that message. We're not perfect yet. We're growing. This is a door of grace. We're going to keep growing. And we're going to keep growing together. Now, when, say the word with me, when God brings further revival, we need to be a church full of ministers ready to go. Taught, trained, knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth, as 2 Timothy tells us. My urging for us all is to be together in the house of God being taught. Now, if you come on Thursday nights for teaching and you don't ever come on Sunday morning, I'm still going to love you. If you come on Sunday morning and never come on Thursday nights, I'm still going to love you. But I believe your own personal time of teaching and training in the Word of God is going to prepare you for the revival that is to come. And so my speaking last week is to make sure we're on the right page, all of us together. One other statement. When I said we're not a congregational church, I mean that by democratically voting in whether or not we'll buy purple stamps or red stamps. You understand what I'm saying? Loving people yield to input from one another and receive that input. And I said very strongly, I said, you have a vote. You have a vote by your feet. If you don't like it here, you can go anywhere you want. When I said that, I wasn't telling people that I want you to leave the church. Do you understand that? Are you with me? Say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Say, I love you, Pastor Kev.
But we do love you.
Come on, say it again. Come on, one more time. I can't hear you. If you get this on tape, take each other's hands. Reach out across the aisles. Take each other's hands. Family together. Family together in Christ means we want the message he's got to bring to us, whether it's sweet and encouraging, comfort, strength, love, or confrontation. But when it's confrontation, we walk together through it to the response. Now, I think I'm looking at a congregation filled of people that want to go on and be more like Jesus. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true, Marilyn? I'm pointing you out of the crowd. Marilyn, is that true?
Absolutely.
Good, she didn't let me down. No, hey, that's what it's all about, right? It is a royal journey we're on. It's a good one, but it means change. Y'all still ready to change, even if it's uncomfortable? Now, I just want you in the back to know the heater's been fixed, and so it's going to get real hot back there. And I know you're going to look at each other and say, it's hot preaching this morning. Father, we thank you, and we are committed as a congregation to going on. We want to be more like you. I knew you could all respond right to Jesus. I knew you could. But when it comes time for strong preaching, then it takes the people with an attitude to say, okay, I want to grow. I want to be mature. I want to make the next step in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we had message practice. When I say repent, what do you do? Repent! Don't even have to look around. But if you do, during those strong points, you really need to change. Don't go, yeah, you do. Go, go. I do. You do, okay, I do. I know it's really tempting, isn't it, sometimes, man? You know, that point's strong, and you really want to apply it to your neighbor in Christ. You know, just in this, yeah, in the spirit of Christian love, you really need this point, honey.
Yeah. Might as well all know.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm an open.
Yeah, but the spirit of what we're after is each of us need to change. Each of us. We're not pointing a finger at anybody. Jesus is pointing the finger. If there's fingers to be pointed, he's got the big ones. Okay? Are we on the same page with that? Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go on. Jesus takes a test. That's what this morning's all about. Jesus takes a test. Let's see how he responds to it. Key scriptures, Luke 20, verse 19 through 26. Verses 19 through 26 of chapter 20. I'll be reading from the New King James scriptures. And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people. For they knew he had spoken this parable. He can do it. He can do it. So they, what did they do? Man, he spoke this parable against him. He's upset. He's powerful. He's the Messiah. He's on the scene. There's only a little time left. I'm trying to reach these people. The people are responding to the preaching. The chief scribes and the Pharisees, they're really getting upset with him. So now what do they do? Verse 20. So they watched him, and they sent spies who pretended to be righteous so they might seize on his words in order to deliver him, look at the phrase, to the power and the authority. Issues come down to control and authority. I get ticked off if I can't control you. Don't look at each other. Smile. Okay, but what I'm saying is not me personally, but what it can happen to me personally. I get all sorts of upset if you don't do what I want you to do. Isn't that what we get upset about? You're supposed to do it my way. Isn't that what we get upset about? Smile. Look at each other and say, yeah, this is for you. No, don't do that. I just belied everything I just did. It's for you.
This is for you.
Yeah, that's right. But you see, That's what they were wrestling with too. So we want to get this guy to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they asked him, saying, "Teacher, can you just hear it? Listen to their voice. Just let it live. Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly." You think they really thought that? Come on. It's just dripping, isn't it? "We know that you teach and say rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but you teach the way of God in truth. Now, let me ask you, Lord, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" How many in this room would have really rejoiced if he'd said, "No, don't ever pay taxes"? Would have been nice preaching, right? Amen. Yeah, that's right. But he perceived their, what's the word?
Craftiness.
And he said to them, "Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's." But they could not catch him. They could not catch him. They could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people. And they marveled at his answer, and they kept silent. The test is on. They want to lay hands on Jesus. They want to get rid of him. They want to get rid of him because he made them terribly uncomfortable in their sinful, hard attitudes. Preaching sometimes does that, folks. But the reality is, these chief priests wanted the authority and the position. They were fault finders. Say the word with me, fault finders. Fault finders. Are you a fault finder? Aha! You did it wrong. I don't know anybody yet in my life, including moi, who does it just perfect every time. This is a growth walk with Jesus. How about instead of being fault finders, we be encouragement lifers? We be blessing beacons. Let's stick with that one. You want to be a fault finder? Say it with me. Fault finder. Come on, say it real negative. Fault finder. Or do you want to be a blessing beacon? Say it with me. Blessing beacon. Wouldn't it be better if I walked up to you and said, "Aha! I see that great blessing. You really served, and I'm grateful for it." Isn't that better than say, "Aha! You didn't polish your belt buckle this morning"? There are people like that, and their life is terribly negative, and they are discouraged, and they love to discourage others. Now, these people were all upset, and they're looking to trap him. The test is on. Fault finders live in a series of tests for other people. Most of the time, the reason why they do is because they're failing the test themselves and they don't want you to see it. So if I can put the test on you before you see me, you won't see me. Follow what I'm saying? That intimidating, fault-finding thing. Fault-finding. Come on. Fault-finders. You even have to scrunch up your face to say it, don't you? Fault-finders. Or would you rather be blessing beacons? Say it with me. Blessing beacons. You get to smile when you say that, don't you? My mom, you've heard me say this story. She was in modeling and a modeling instructor for a lot of years. Kevin, takes 84 muscles or 94 muscles to frown. Takes only 14 to smile. Wow. Some of our faces get a workout.
Some of them do.
Fault finders or blessing beacons. But look at what happened. Let's see what happened. There's a difference between watching and critical spirit watching. I want to say something to Door of Grace. Guess you can just listen along. But Door of Grace people, you have no business speaking correction if you have not been in prayer action for the people for whom you are concerned. God will many times give you discernment for someone's life, but that discernment is to bring you to your knees in prayer, because you yourself are not perfect, neither are they, but you have no business bringing correction if you've not been in prayer action. We're a family, and the same love you want them to exhibit toward you, you need to exhibit toward them. I'm not bawling anybody out. I'm giving us the same page. You understand?
Yes.
How are we going to choose to live? Let's choose to live better. Amen?
Yes.
Say it with me. I am a blessing beacon. Now, pastors are called to watch over your souls. You know that? There's a scripture that says, pray for your pastors. They're watching out for your souls. Pray that they might do it with blessing instead of with grief and heartache. There is a difference between that and critical spirit fault finding. They watched him. The Greek word watched him is petereo, petereo. They noted insidiously. They were watching Jesus to note insidiously, scrupulously, but insidiously what he was doing with an insidious attitude. Does that sound like a blessing attitude? Do you think they wanted to catch him doing something right? To see what they could see in their life and how they could grow. Was that their delight with the Savior? And it was an insidious watching. Said they came in and spied. They were spies. That Greek word is enkathetos. Enkathetos, they were surreptitiously suborned as liars in wait. They were just waiting to trap, to spring onto the Messiah's error. They're looking to catch you doing something wrong. Scripture says they feigned themselves just men. They were faking it. Say, faking it. They were faking it. They weren't just men. That word just means innocent, holy. They were not holy and innocent. They weren't there to learn. They weren't there to bless. They were there to get back at the Savior, fault finder or blessing beacon. Are you looking with competition and anger or blessing and encouragement? Why not look at each other for inspiration and growth? I like what I see in your life. I like what I see in your life. I could go around the room and give praise to each of you here this morning. You know, I have never seen Pete and Betty without a spirit of, if I had a need, they would be there to help me. They would open their home at a moment's notice. They would serve. They would help. I could go around the room and point out those kinds of things. Do you know what that does? That blesses me immensely. I'm blessed. I'm inspired. I look at that and go, when I grow up, I wonder if I can be like that. Thank you. Bless me, Father, for I have not sinned. I'm just thinking about doing it. No, I want to be those kind of good qualities that I see, and I want to look for them, and I want to see them, and I want to find them. I want to catch you doing something great. Jesus took a test. We get to take a test every day. What was their purpose? They were wanting to take hold of his words. Scripture literally says they wanted to seize the things he said. Why? To deliver him up to the mastery and force of someone else who kept them in control. Control, authority.
Well then, the New Living says, give to Caesar what belongs to him, but everything that belongs to God must be given to God. Now, there's a point to this. Do you realize in Jerusalem in that day, in Israel in that day, they were not able by the Roman authorities to coin their own gold coins. And they refused to coin coins that deified the emperor. And although there were a lot of coins around that did deify the emperor, they weren't the ones made there. They made copper coins. And they made copper coins that paid taxes and all those kinds of things, but they didn't depict Caesar on them. So the denarius, Jesus picks up and says, Now, whose inscription is this, or whose portrait is this? And it's Caesar's. I'm after a point. Let me just really make it very simply. You give to Caesar the one whose picture is stamped on here. You give this back to Caesar. But God has come to you as his own people on whom his portrait is supposed to be stamped. And you give back to God that which is his. Your life, your very being, is as the coin on whom God's life is to be imprinted. Give back to God that which is his. You give these things to Caesar, okay, but you belong to God. Jesus wasn't trapped by their compromise. The chief priests prided themselves historically on their ability to adapt to their situation. They compromised to stay in power. Control, authority. I want control, I want authority. I don't care if it's what God wants. Oh God, repent. I repent from that attitude. I do care what God wants. I don't want control and authority so bad that I miss God. You see what I'm saying? But they wanted it so bad, they compromised. And Jesus didn't compromise with them, he says. Give the coins to Caesar. Give your life to God. They couldn't seize his words, is literally what the Greek means. They were amazed. They marveled. And they held their tongues from further challenge. Sometimes, personalize it a little bit, when you are in a difficult struggle with God, sometimes the very best thing to do, instead of shaking your fist at him, demanding the control for what you want your way, sometimes it's simply best to stop your tongue, hold your peace, come down, kneel before the Savior, say, okay, Lord, your face is imprinted upon my life. I give myself to you. Do what you will. Can you say amen, congregation? I want to do what God wants me to do. How do you pass the test? How do you pass the test? Just keep giving yourself back to God over and over. Okay, Lord, I'm yours. Let's pray. Shall we stand? Oh, Lord, we thank you that, in the key of D, please, Angela, we thank you that you are Lord of our lives. We thank you that you conducted yourself in such a way with fault finders that it didn't make you cynical. You just kept obeying God, your Father. Lord, we choose this morning to be blessing beacons. We choose to look for that which is good in each other and to encourage. And together, we choose to surrender and pass the test. We love you, Lord, and surrender all to you in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Have a wonderful day in the presence of Jesus. Be blessing beacons. Amen? Amen. God bless you.